This is what we heard this morning. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. Friends and friendship. You know, back in the Roman Greco days, friendship was definitely different than how we understand friendship today. You know, today it's almost as if friendship is a ubiquitous word. We use it for everything, right? Ignore the man that's in front of me here. It's kind of like, ignore the man. I'm joking. That was just a joke. Thank you, friend. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. But when we use the word friend, you know, we use it kind of sometimes like, is that really a friend? So, for example, and I don't know why, I tend to remember this from Westerns, and you might laugh and say, absolutely not if you're a Western person, but I tend to remember this. So, you know, the bad guy walks into the saloon, and the saloon owner comes up to the bad guy and says, listen, friend, we don't want no trouble here. Get out of town. Like, is that really a friend? You know, or you might hear that, right? So, yes. No, meaning the guy that came in. Yeah, it's a friend to everybody who's in the saloon. But, you know, right? We use that word friend, and it's really not a friend that's coming towards you, but you sort of want to quell what's going on. So we'll use that word friend. Calm the situation down. Now, how many of you here have ever read the book or went to one of the author's classes? And the name of the book is How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. That book came out in 1936. And in the 60s and 70s and even in the early 80s, that was like the training class that you went to. If your company was going to pay you to go to this Dale Carnegie class on how to win friends and influence people, that was absolutely fantastic. So when I looked at the book, because of course, you know, we all probably have the book or had the book, I turned to the chapter that said, how to win friends. And you know something? It didn't use the word friend in there. I'm like, I can't find how to win friends in there. Here's what I found. How to get people to like you. Interesting, isn't it? How to get people to like you. And then it proceeds on to give six steps on how to do that. And you know what the number two step was? Smile. I mean, can you imagine that you have to tell people to smile? But that was the book that we followed. So there was a step-by-step process on how to get people to like you, how to win friends. And how about Facebook? How many people here are on Facebook? Yeah, Facebook is the way we stay connected with family and friends, right? Some of us have hundreds and hundreds of friends. Interesting word that's used. How about something like this? I want friend, acquaintance, person I know, maybe tangentially, right? It's all friend. And what's really interesting about this, it seems like the more friends you have, right, the more you must be loved is what it seems to be. Wow, there was a commercial. Commercial out on that about a mom and a dad who are out doing all this stuff and the daughter sitting there, you know, I have 1,500 friends and my parents aren't even on Facebook. You know, and here the mom and dad are out socializing with all their friends as opposed to the daughter who's sitting there with her 1,500 friends. And I'm not knocking Facebook because I love it. I can stay in touch and see and know what's going on with everyone. But it's interesting how we use that word friend and how people who don't even know me across the continent are reaching out and asking me to be their friend. And how about the whole defriending situation? You laugh, right? Because it's like, well, I don't really know you, and then I defriend you, and then all of a sudden that person's all upset because you defriended them. It's like, but we're not really friends to begin with. So it's a tough situation, isn't it? Yeah. Now, on TV, we can find maybe some things that get a little closer to the type of friendship that we hear about in the Bible this morning and what it was like back in the Roman Greco times. You know, there was that popular television show called Friends. Remember that show? They did everything together, right? I mean, they were really, really a tight community. And now there's a new show that's on that's called The Big Bang Theory. Anybody watch The Big Bang Theory? It's like Sheldon is kind of the nerdy guy, but you really love Sheldon because he just sort of tells it like it is, which is what friends are supposed to do. So Sheldon is a scientist. And he is a physicist. So for everything, it has to be very orderly. And he comes up with, well, I'm going to let you watch.
Time. I believe I've isolated the algorithm for making friends. No truck will guide me through the process.
Have you thought about putting him in a crate while you're at the apartment?
Hello, Kripke. It's Sheldon Cooper here. It occurred to me you hadn't returned any of my calls, but if I hadn't offered any concrete suggestions for pursuing our friendship, perhaps the two of us might share a meal together.
I see.
Well, then perhaps you have time for a hot beverage. Popular choice of a tea, coffee, cocoa.
I think... No, wait, don't hang up yet.
But... what about a recreational activity? I bet we share some common interests. Can you tell me an interest of yours?
Do you really?
On actual horses?
Tell me another interest of yours.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have no desire to get the water, so I absolutely have to.
Another interest of yours.
So you can see that he has flowcharted out a yes-no situation on how to make friends. Yes, very, very orderly process there. And this situation continues on and on and on and on, going into a significant loop in which he can't get out of. Jesus talks about friendship in a totally different way. Totally different. You know, sometimes we'll hear people say, Jesus is my BFF. What does that mean? Right? Yeah, it's not. It's when we hear the word friend in Scripture, friend is, the Greek word for that is philos. Friend. Philos. And that word is rooted in the word phileo. And phileo is to love. And so friend has its roots in love. It's a totally different type of a relationship. It's almost like the relationship that you will have in a family. Only it's very, very different because it's not a biological tie, is it? It's more of a communal tie. This is what friendship looks like that Jesus is talking about that's rooted in love. It's about reliability, about a person that you can really count on no matter what happens in your life. It talks about trust. When you're in a time of crisis, that you can turn to somebody and they will indeed be there. It's about loyalty and commitment. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and he's looking down at his mother and his beloved disciple, he says to his disciple, look now to your mother. And he says to his mother, look now to your son. Even to the end, he took care of both of them. That's what a commitment is. The beloved disciple had no idea that he was now going to be caring for Jesus' mother for the rest of his life. But that's the kind of friendship that they had that is truly rooted in love. It's a deep, deep mutual caring for each other. It's sharing your resources and serving freely. It's not when you do something for somebody, you say to them, you owe me one, you know. Or when that person does something for you, it's not you saying, I owe you one. There's no owing that goes on when you have a deep deep friendship based on love. It's a communal type of a relationship. It's not what's in it for me. And it takes a commitment. It almost sounds like marriage, doesn't it? Think about that for a second. That's the level of friendship when we talk about friendship that is truly and deeply rooted in love, a community who cares, genuinely cares for each other, has loyalty to each other, and lays down their life for each other. You know, the disciples had absolutely, really not a good understanding of what was about to happen to Jesus. And so Jesus gives them these parting words for them to live by. And Jesus gives us those same words that we're to live by. You know, a new family is being formed here, new relationships that happen outside of our biological families, a new community where everyone holds all things in common. There is a oneness in this love. There is a total understanding in this love. It's not a competitive love whatsoever. It's a love that knows. This love can only exist in community when we are tethered to Christ. And the grapes, we talked about this. This is the second part of the I am the vine, right? And you are the branches. And the fruit that Jesus speaks of is love, true love. And so look at all the fruit that's here and look around at our community that's here. It's a love that's an active love. Not one that just says, I love you, but one that says, I am with you always. When you need me, I am there for you. That kind of love. And let's be honest, we don't always get that kind of love from our biological families. When we are tied into Christ, we live into this incredible new community that is engaged in each other. Love is an active verb. God is a verb. God is love. And the way God loved us, and the words that the Greek word used for God's love is agape. It's unconditional love. Grace upon grace. Love that never ends. And only when we can, through the Holy Spirit, understand the depth and bring that out into the light, then only are we able to love in a mutual commitment to each other. Jesus says, you are no longer my servant. I am no longer your master. And he demonstrated that a few hours earlier when he washed the disciples' feet. You see, there is a relationship between a teacher and a student, a teacher and a disciple, in which the teacher can say anything and command anything, and the disciple has to do it. The student has to do it. But you see, Jesus flips that now, and he says, we're friends. And this is what friendship looks like. This is what love looks like. It looks like the washing of the feet. It looks like serving each other. It looks like taking care of the needs of each other. Sometimes we may think we're in the situation of having to be cared for and that we have nothing to offer. So untrue. We have everything to offer, to give, to love, to be present with, to listen to. That is commitment, trust, and loyalty. There is oneness. The Holy Spirit is sent to each one of us. We remember in our baptism that the Holy Spirit is sent to us, but we heard today in the reading from Acts that while Peter was talking prior to any baptism, those who didn't belong had the Holy Spirit come into them. How amazing is that? You know, we think we've got Jesus all pegged and God all pegged, and then he goes and does something like this. Jesus goes and does something like this. Jesus acts in new ways every single day in our lives, in our community, and with each other. How do we know this love? How do we know such friendship? We know it because God bestows the gift of love. Because God bestowed Jesus Christ, who came, who suffered death, but didn't stay dead. And through God's raising of Jesus Christ, we too live. That's incredible, incredible love. The command of love is indeed for each one of us. Because this love is not just life-giving for the person sitting next to us, for the person that we work with, for the person who cuts us off in line at the grocery store. It's for us. Because when we love like this, there's deep joy, not happiness, but joy. So this love is really for us. We do it for the other, and we do it for us. Here we have, "This is my command," Jesus says. "Love one another the way I loved you." This is the very, very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. "You are my friends when you do the things I command you." Let's go and love. You are my Philos. You are my Philos. You are my friends in Christ. Amen.